This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The college basketball game of the season coming up at 11 a.m. on ESPN. To discuss it from a Baylor point of view, Colt Barber joins us now. He's the editor-in-chief of Sikkim365.com. You can find his work there or on Twitter at Colt_Barber. Colt, we were talking about just the chemistry of this team with so many guys from so many different places. The top five scorers on this Baylor team did not play a single game together before this season. Where does that come from? Where did that begin? How did they form the bond that they have that have allowed them to be as successful as they have this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for the casual observer that's used to college basketball, the one and done, obviously it's trending away from that. But this is a team full of guys who have been on campus with red shirts. There's some junior college guys, or at least one junior college guy, Devontae Bandu, has been on campus for a couple of years. But the majority of these guys have redshirted, and they've been on campus. Obviously, Freddie Gillespie was one, Macy Oteague, Davion Mitchell. Jared Butler did not redshirt, but Scott Drew is building this program to make his program consistently have old teams. And obviously, you have a guy like Mark Vidal, who traditionally would be a senior right now, or for most college basketball teams would be a senior, but he's a redshirt junior, so he's been around the block and understands what it takes to play in big games. But that's just the makeup of this entire team. Is they have experience going against older guys in practice, and now they're the older guys on the court. And obviously the chemistry that they developed through practicing against each other, understanding their strengths and weaknesses. And that's something that Scott Drew really has prided himself on in building this program. And in the next year, they have a couple more guys who are redshirting currently who transferred in. Adam Flagler and another young man, his name is Jonathan, and his last name I don't even try to pronounce. I'm a better guy and I can't even pronounce his last name. We call him JTT, but they're redshirting right now. So they're just continually developing this depth within the program and becoming older and older. And that's really, we've seen it with Villanova. We've seen it with Butler for however long they've been doing it. And you look at these teams that are winning national championship. Texas Tech last year was a pretty old team, and they're willing to wait and develop. And if you can get that backbone early on, and still have success, you can really develop that over the course of several years. And that's what Scott Drew has done to develop the team.
And Colt, we were talking about maybe how underappreciated Scott Drew is. It took him a little while to get things going there in Waco. But how has he sold Baylor to be a basketball school to get some of these guys to come in?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you talk to guys who have played under Coach Drew, dating back to when, obviously, this is his second stop. He spent a year at Valpo as the head coach and then got the head coaching job at Baylor. So it's only been his only stop, but the relationships that he's developed with players, previous players, those guys are continuously coming back on campus. And so when you have those guys on campus and you bring in recruits and say, this is how, you have a guy like Epe Udo, for instance, who transferred in from Michigan and then becomes a lottery pick and played in the NBA for several years. But Coach Drew developed him, and Coach Tang developed him into the player that he was. And these guys like Jonathan Motley, for instance, who was here or who was in Waco just a few years ago, he was able to redshirt and then develop under Coach Drew as a big man. And so that system of if you trust us to develop you, you're going to be able to be developed. Now he has another great success story in Freddie Gillespie, who is a Division III player. You know all about that story. And he was a decent player at that level, but came in redshirted, and now he's has a decent chance of being an all-conference performer and then playing in the NBA. And so they just have the ability to connect with players, but then also develop them, and especially through those redshirt years like I was talking about previously.
Cole, what did we learn in the first matchup between these two teams? And I know Kansas's Devin Dotson got dinged in that and wasn't full strength. But what did you learn going on the road and with that kind of performance?
Yeah, just the experience and the maturity of the team. You can't take it for granted going into Allen Fieldhouse, and they didn't. They went in, and I remember Jared Butler last year. He went up there and scored like 31 points. It was a decently close game. And it was either right before or right after the game. He said, I didn't realize that Baylor had never won at Allen Fieldhouse. And he said, that's going to change while I'm here. And so he goes into this year, scores 22 points, or 20 plus points, and leads them to a victory, and not just a victory. I mean, they beat him pretty comfortably. They won by dozen points and controlled that game from start to finish. And just, so just the resiliency that Baylor showed. And now they've shown that throughout the season. I mean, they everyone asked me or asking any of our staff members, you know, what's the trap game? What's going to be the trap game for this team that they slip up? And, you know, you could have pointed at Oklahoma earlier this week or obviously not necessarily West Virginia, but Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, at Kansas State. And they haven't slipped up. They've had some decently close games, but they haven't trailed at all in the second half of Big 12 play, which is pretty remarkable to think. You know, truthfully, they haven't really had any pressure situations other than staving off runs in the second half. So just the makeup of the overall team of having the resiliency to go and become number one, but then hold off because we – this year specifically, we haven't seen number one teams just stick around too long, and they've been able to do it.
Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. So in the first matchup, obviously Baylor gets off to a roaring start, forced 10 turnovers in the first half. But the biggest surprise was the paint points, just 6 paint points in the first half from Kansas. As a BK has one shot attempt in that first half, and that was on their first possession. How does Baylor replicate that the second time around?
Well, I mean, the first thing you have to understand, and Scott Drew will obviously understand, is that Bill Self is going to make every change imaginable to change that outcome, to keep Azubuike involved. And what Scott Drew does, and he's very underrated, I think more people are realizing this this year, is are in those second matchups that he's able to change what he did good and make sure that he can adjust and prevent the opponent's adjustments from having too big of an impact, but then also just adjusting things that he didn't do well. And I'm really anxious to see this chess match because obviously the two of the longest tenure coaches in the Big 12 are going at it for a Big 12 championship. This game has obviously a lot for Baylor, but for Kansas' sake and for them to win another Big 12 championship, they absolutely, I mean, we're coming down to crunch time. They have to win. And so I'm not sure exactly what Baylor will do to replicate not letting them get post sessions, because that's probably going to be the key to the game in terms of slowing down Kansas' offense, is limiting post touches. Obviously, Freddie Gillespie is a great shot blocker, very athletic for a big man, very long, 7'5" wingspan. So he can play from the link standpoint. How he handles his Azubuike's size is that's the key to the matchup in not getting pushed around. I expect him to continue to front, you know, to guard in front of the post center, deny those entry passes. Mark Vidal's great at that, very athletic, and truthfully, probably more physical. Even though he's not nearly as long, not nearly as tall, he's much more physical to front any post players and deny entry passes. And Baylor's defense just, as a whole, they just do a great job of switching on defense. And you guys probably have heard all about that, but they can switch basically any positions. They'll let guards go, because they front on defense, they'll let their guards switch into the post and deny entry passes. And then you have to have help, great help side defense. You have to have a guy like Mark Vidal or Freddie Gillespie to clean up any of those post entry passes that get over the top. And they've done a great job with that this year. And I don't expect anything to change too much on that end.
Colt, it seems like the Big Ten, they're loaded from top to bottom. Describe the Big 12, what you see this year versus years past and the strength of the league.
It really has come down to that middle of the pack outside of Baylor and Kansas holding serve at home and not winning on the road. I mean, it's so tough in college basketball to win road games. And when you win road games, like Baylor did early, they won at Texas Tech, they won at Kansas, it sets you up in great position. There's a middle group, though. You talk about Texas Tech, obviously Oklahoma, Texas. Texas is kind of falling off here of late. They don't win those road games. And that's really kind of given this perception in the league that maybe it's not nearly as strong top to bottom. But I think that might be more of a praise of how strong the league is, or how, you know, that middle pack is actually probably a little bit better than people realize, is because winning it on the road is very tough. Now, Baylor and Kansas, obviously Baylor hasn't lost a road game, and neither has Kansas. Kansas lost the one home game to Baylor in Big 12 play. So this week, I mean, you're looking at if Baylor can hold serve on home court, they win the Big 12 championship, but that middle pack, it becomes, if you watch them play a lot of the close games that they play on the road, they're better than what a lot of their records. You look at a team like Oklahoma State, who's played down to the wire with several teams, including Baylor, knocked off Texas Tech the other night at home. Their record isn't overall very strong, but man, you don't want to face them, knowing that you have a target on your back.
What kind of depth does this team have, and how much does that affect their ability to make a run in March?
Depth at the guard position is very good. You have a guy, even like Mark Vile, who's a glorified kind of a wingman, but he plays his buckets come in transition. They come in defensive settings where he can get out and run. But at the guard position, it's plenty deep. Macy Oteague needs to get healthy. Obviously, he hadn't played in the last two games. They're hoping that he can get back this weekend for Kansas. He's their second leading scorer behind Jared Butler. But it's the guard positions that are deep, which allow them to get out and run and kind of play a lot of press defense. Obviously, Scott Drew's been known for his man defense, but this year the athletic ability they have all in the backcourt really allows them to press defensively. In the post situation, on paper it looks good. Freddie Gillespie obviously starting, Tristan Clark being his backup. But the key for the long run in March will be Tristan Clark, a preseason All Big 12 player, getting fully healthy, getting his stamina back, and being ready for a postseason run. And if he can do that, Baylor has a great chance to make it to the Final Four in the national championship, because you're talking right now that they're getting very limited production from him. And last year he was the guy that shot 75% from the field. So if he can get up to 8 points, 5 rebounds, even 7-4 consistently, this team has a very high ceiling because what they're getting from Freddie Gillespie at the center of that forward position.
All right, Colt, Saturday morning, 11 a.m., ESPN, following College Game Day, Kansas at Baylor in the Farrell Center. Who loses?
Man, I feel like that Baylor overall, the key matchup, obviously I mentioned in the post, in Freddie Gillespie holding up against Doak, but the key matchup in my mind is Devon Dotson and Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell is probably one of the least heralded players from a national perception. He was at Auburn previously, known for his defense. And man, this guy can lock down opposing point guards. And Baylor does a lot of switching, but he's such a menace on the ball. He matches up athletically with Devon Dotson. Obviously, they're both very, very quick, very fast guys. So I'm watching that matchup as being the key. I don't know if Macy Oteague plays. If I'm a betting man, I say if Macy Oteague plays, Baylor wins. But I don't know that Macy Oteague being healthy or not being fully healthy and trying to play is Baylor's best bet. So it's going to be a really close game. It's just really hard for me to pick because at this point I truly feel like it's a 50-50 matchup.
Great stuff, Colt. Always appreciate the time. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. That's Colt Barber from Sikkim365.com. Follow him on Twitter at Colt_Barber. And he joined us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. It's your favorite retailer now in three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.
This is Three Man Front.